John Murphy Show is on the air.
All right, good job, Carter. Players left side, get a man there. Stevie catch, touchdown.
So being able to go out there and move, you know what I'm saying, get the herky jerk back.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Inside the 10, 5-yard line, touchdown, C.J. Spiller.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight we are live and direct from NOCO Express on Main and Youngs in Williamsville. We're here with the Buffalo Jills, of course. We have the lovely and talented Stephanie Madison coming down and the talented Mark Kelso. That and your calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
From One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Taking our act on the road tonight for a couple of hours, the John Murphy Show, coming to you live from NOCO Express, Main and Youngs in Williamsville, Main Street, Youngs Road, you know where it is, right across the street from ECC North Campus. We're here from now until 9 o'clock tonight, so stop on by. If you stop by, we've got all kinds of radio entertainment for you. We also have great gifts to give away just by stopping in. We've got NOCO t-shirts, hats, koozies, keychains, lip balm, pens. We're going to play a little trivia tonight and give away some NOCO stuff and some great Buffalo Bills gifts as well. And we've got, as you just heard, some great guests coming on. The Buffalo Jills are here to say hello, and you can stop by and see them. Stephanie Madison will join us, the director of the Buffalo Jills, talk about Jills Week on BuffaloBills.com. And Mark Kelso joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, my partner on the Bills radio broadcast, to talk about where the Bills are at as we approach training camp now, just about 12 days away from the start of training camp. So come by. We are here till 9 o'clock tonight helping NOCO celebrate their 80th year in business. And they're sharing the birthday excitement with all of their loyal customers. We're starting it off tonight. NOCO started today with their 80th birthday bash scratch and win contest giveaway. And here's how it works. All NOCO customers get scratch and win tickets with every in-store or at-the-pump purchase at all NOCO Express locations, not just right here at Main Street and Youngs Road. And that's where we are tonight. And you get the card when you make a NOCO purchase. You scratch it off. You can win all kinds of things. NOCO natural gas or electric for a year. Free gas for a year. NOCO Express gift cards. They've got a trip for four to Orlando. Buffalo Bills tickets. Catering from Nickel City Cafe. Coupons and discounts at NOCO Express locations. So stop by NOCO Express and check that out. You can stop by our location where we are right now at Main Street and Youngs Road in Williamsville. We're here until 9 o'clock tonight with a lot to talk about tonight. We want to invite you, if you do want to stop by, we can put you on mic. We've got some gas cards to give away, some NOCO gift cards to give away for anybody who stops by our makeshift studio here, Main Street and Youngs Road, and goes on air and asks a question or voices an opinion about the Buffalo Bills. We'll be here until 9 o'clock. You can do that. As we said, a premium for your participation is a gift card, a $10 gift card to NOCO Express. So stop by and say hello. As always, you can reach us by telephone, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. A couple of topics to talk about. Obviously, Jarris Bird, a big topic today. The deadline passed 4 p.m. today, and no long-term agreement for Bills safety Jarris Bird. So just to reiterate what that means if Jarris Bird plays this year, he plays under a one-year contract with the Buffalo Bills. And most likely would play under the terms of the franchise tag designation that he received back in March, early March, a franchise tag worth $6.9 million for Jarris Bird. That's his vehicle now to play in the NFL if he wants to play in the NFL. So those are the technicalities, the legalities of it. What about practically speaking? What are the options for Jarris Bird? Well, he could obviously not report to training camp. There are no fines associated with that, as long as he has not signed his franchise tender, and he has yet to do that. He could, if he wants to, miss some regular season games, and in that case, he starts missing regular season game checks. $6.9 million divided by 16 games, a lot of money. And unlikely that he would do that. I think the likeliest scenario is that sometime before the regular season begins, Jarris Bird signs his franchise tender, shows up, and starts playing on September 8th against the New England Patriots. So as he, A, does not lose game checks, and B, does not lose a year of accrued service under the NFL collective bargaining agreement. But what are your thoughts on that, on the failure of the Bills and Jarris Bird to reach agreement on the long-term deal today? What does it mean for Bird and his future with the Bills? Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888 550-2550. You can reach us that way. Or if you want to stop by NOCO Express right here at Main Street and Young's Road, we're here till 9 o'clock tonight. And as we said, if you step up to the mic, we'll make it easy for you. We've got a $10 NOCO Express gift card to give away for a question on air. Phone line's open. You can reach us live here at NOCO Express as well. The other option on the table, if you'd like to, who will make the Pro Bowl? We are following along with BuffaloBills.com as they hit the top 25 questions until training camp. And we want to know from you, who do you think will make the Pro Bowl from the Bills last year? The Bills had three players in the Pro Bowl last year. This year, who might it be? Kyle Williams, Stevie Johnson, Mario Williams, C.J. Spiller, Jairus Byrd, some of the obvious candidates. Maybe there's somebody else you have in mind. Maybe a T.J. Graham would make enough of an impact to make the Pro Bowl this year. Last year, three Bills participated in the Pro Bowl, C.J. Spiller, Kyle Williams, and Jairus Byrd. This year, who do you think it'll be? Give us a call. Let us know what you think of that at 803-0550, or you can step up to the microphone here. Which Buffalo Bills you think are the likeliest ones to make the Pro Bowl at the end of the 2013 season? You can do it by phone, 803-0550, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or you can do it right here at NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road. If you want to step up to the microphone, we'll take your comments on the air, and we'll give you a $10 NOCO gift card if you'd like to do that. Here at NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road, from now until 9 o'clock tonight, stop by and say hello. The news of the day, we talked about Jairus Byrd. That obviously is the biggest news of the day, the fact that the Bills and Jairus Byrd failed to reach agreement on a long-term deal, and the options now for Jairus Byrd include the franchise tag, $6.9 million franchise tag. That's what the franchise tag would pay him. The Bills released a statement about 15 minutes after the deadline passed in which General Manager Doug Whaley said, quote, "We worked very hard to come to a long-term agreement with Jairus, but unfortunately we were unable to reach one before today's deadline. Our attention will now be focused on a one-year agreement with him and on training camp with our continued efforts to prepare our team for the upcoming season." So the Bills have not written off, obviously, Jairus Byrd and the possibility of a one-year deal. And after this 1 year, next March, they could open it up again, try to sign him to a longer-term deal. They could also reapply the franchise tag after next year. As it worked out in the NFL, there were reports today as Byrd was looking to become the highest paid safety in the NFL. There were other reports that said the Bills were only willing to play top four or five safety money in the NFL. Not sure if those reports are accurate or not, because neither the Bills nor Byrd's agent, Eugene Parker, were very open about what exactly the parameters of a potential deal were. Denver Broncos left tackle Ryan Clady wound up being the only franchise tag player to reach a long-term agreement. Other players who are now under the franchise tag, the one-year franchise tag designation, include Bears defensive tackle Henry Melton, Dallas Cowboys pass rusher Anthony Spencer, Colts punter Pat McAfee, Dolphins defensive tackle Randy Starks. They have signed their franchise tags and will play out their season under their franchise tender. The difference with Jairus Byrd, he has not signed his franchise tag. Big deal for Ryan Clady, the Broncos offensive lineman, the left tackle. Five-year deal worth a base salary of $52.5 million, $33 million guaranteed. And the report from ESPN is that it could grow to $57.5 million as Clady is named to the Pro Bowl two times. So Ryan Clady, the only one who got a long-term deal done. Bengals signed their draft pick today, first-rounder. First-round draft pick Tyler Eifert, the tight end. He was 21st overall, so now they have a pair of first-round players at tight end on their roster, Tyler Eifert and Jermaine Gresham, both of them on the Cincinnati Bengals roster as first-rounders. And the Denver Broncos, back to them. News today that they made today, they have suspended indefinitely a couple of front office executives who were recently arrested for driving under the influence. Matt Russell will be suspended indefinitely without pay, and Tom Heckert will be suspended 1 month without pay for his infraction. They will also provide treatment. Russell's punishment more harsh because, in part, his crime was more severe. He was charged with DUI earlier this month in Colorado after hitting a parked police vehicle. All right, your thoughts on Jairus Byrd and the contract impasse, the fact that the Bills do not have a contract yet with Jairus Byrd. You can phone it in, 803-0550. You can reach us toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can come right out here to NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville, and reach us that way. Step up to the microphone. We've got a $10 NOCO Express gift card to give you for those who ask their questions live here at NOCO Express. Take a phone call from Butch on the east side. Hi, Butch, you're on the air.
Murph, thanks a lot for taking my call. Great show as always. You know, Murph, I'm like this. I'm glad that Doug Whaley and the Buffalo Bills organization stood their ground. I look at the situation, as you already named off some names, the free agents out here that's not a safety. All of them are defensive linemen, majority of it, and Brandon Albert, if I'm not mistaken, was probably the only offensive lineman. But at the exact same time, those type of guys in the trenches, the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and, you know, quarterbacks too, but the defensive linemen, offensive linemen are where the money goes. And I really believe that, and I think Doug Williams is sticking his ground. But I want to say this, Murph, that you know what? The contract that Clady has, I would take that contract, same deal, $33 million guaranteed, and I would go ahead and make the deal with Kansas City and send Bird over there to him and take Brandon Albert, give him the same deal with the same incentive. If you make the Pro Bowl two times, you get $17 more million. And, you know, and I would like that, you know, but I applaud Doug Williams for sticking his ground as new general manager. Let everybody know it's new sheriff in town, and, you know, we'll be going to run this organization properly and get to some Super Bowls and stay in the playoffs. Murph, thanks a lot. I love you, and you have a good day.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, I mean, sticking their ground, and Bird is sticking on his ground. They're, both sides are dug in pretty deep. And, you know, I do, as I mentioned to Chopin Bulldog a few minutes ago, really this is the way it's the system works, I guess, you know. And it's obviously not worked to the benefit of getting this deal done, but each side is exercising all the leverage they can, which is their prerogative to exercise as much leverage as they can. The Bills, by applying the franchise tag back on March 3rd, and by sticking to their guns, I would, you know, we don't know. I would assume there was some contact between the Bills and Jarris Bird's agent over the last several months. Obviously, none of it resulting in a deal. So they stuck to their guns, and Jarris Bird and his agent sticking to their guns, not signing the franchise tender yet, not showing up for the off-season workouts, and who knows if he shows up for the training camp, which starts just about 12 days from now. So each side really sticking to their guns the way the system allows them to do. In this matchup between the Bills and Jarris Bird, I think the Bills have a lot more leverage, a lot more juice, I guess, and they're a bit because for a player who gets the this is why the franchise tag is so unpopular. For a player who gets the franchise tag, there's just not a whole lot that they can do other than take it. And that's why there's only one tag per team, because there's not a whole lot of options for players. That's why, you know, it was collectively bargained between the players' union and the owners. And there's just not a whole lot you can do once you're tagged with it. You have very limited options, and I think that's what the Bills are exercising right now. And I think you're onto something also, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, which the fact that it's a safety. It's not a premium offensive lineman. It's not a pass rusher. It's certainly not a quarterback. Important player, yeah, but the Bills have probably done a pretty detailed calculation on how important the safety might be in the scheme of the defense that they're trying to play this year. And in the scheme of defenses overall. And they know what their number is, and they're going to stick to that number. Jarris Bird, no question, one of the top two or three safeties in the game. No question, a solid citizen, a good teammate, a guy who has done nothing but play hard and play well and been very productive during his time with the Bills so far. But maybe not a guy that you want to commit long-term big money. You know, who knows what the root of the dispute is. Neither side is saying. Is it guaranteed money? Who knows? Is it term of contract? You know, you'd think they're going to be a 4 or 5 year contract when, if there is to be a long term deal that's settled on. Is it, you know, average per year? I mean, the numbers have been thrown out there. You know, the numbers released today, Bird apparently by some sources saying wanted to be the highest paid safety, wanted to be up around the $9 million a year range. That's a lot of money for a safety in the NFL. You know, the Bills probably look at comparable contracts, Eric Weddle, et cetera, and look at, you know, somewhere in the $8 million a year range, maybe. You know, and the contracts that are most comparable are $8 million times 5 years, $40 million total, with about a $19, $20 million guarantee. I mean, is that the neighborhood that they're going to wind up in if they ever get a long-term deal? Who knows? It's kind of an intriguing prospect. Both sides, as I said, dug in fairly deep now when it comes to, you know, how much leverage they want to use and how much negotiating they want to do. I mean, the Bills are making a calculation that Bird is not going to want to miss any game checks, not going to want to miss any games. And I'm probably fairly certain the Bills are hoping that Bird is not going to want to miss much training camp time to make himself ineffective when it comes to training camp time. Again, a calculation the Bills have made. Bird and his agent make a calculation that the Bills, in their effort to rebuild and to get the franchise going again, the Bills making a calculation that you know, Bird's going to want to come in eventually and going to want to sign a contract and get some training camp time in and be acclimated to the new defense, which is being put into place. So each side digging in pretty hard, assessing the parameters of how much leverage they actually have and it's going to be very interesting to see. If you have thoughts on that, we're open. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. You can step up to the microphone here at NOCO Express. We're at the NOCO Express store at Transit or at Main Street and Youngs Road, just across the street from ECC North. Your thoughts on Jarris Bird, where this might be going. How much time are you willing to let this fester if you're a Bills fan? I mean, would you be upset if Bird misses the start of training camp? You wait a couple of weeks before you start to worry. Is he really going to start missing game checks? I don't think so. And a question also on the table, should the Bills consider a sign and trade? I hope they don't, but, you know, now that it's gone this far, maybe it's something that fans to think about. A sign and trade deal where they would sign him to a contract that he likes and then immediately trade that contract away for somebody else or some other draft picks. Or, you know, and there's going to be a team out there, and the Bills probably holding that card in their back pocket too, thinking, you know, as this moves along, somebody's going to decide we need a safety. We would love to have a Pro Bowl caliber safety in our defensive backfield. Maybe an injury in training camp. You know, that's the kind of thing that could change the parameters of this thing. A training camp injury, a team gets desperate for safety help as camp moves along. Again, part of the calculation for the Buffalo Bills. Phone lines open, 803-0550 is the number, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Stop by here at NOCO Express at Main and Young's, and if you step up to the microphone, we'll give you a $10 NOCO Express gift card. Here's a call from Ken in Fort Erie. Hi, Ken, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, John. With this Jarris Bird incident, if he doesn't sign this franchise tag or whatever it is, can he walk away from the deal, or is he still
playing
for?
He can't play anywhere else.
He can't play anywhere else, though.
Not this year, no.
Okay, so he is. No. So he has some contract, does he?
He has no contract, but the Bills have the rights. Have his rights, right? By applying the franchise tag, they reserve their rights for him to be with the Buffalo Bills, but he doesn't have a contract. But since he has been tagged, the Bills, have the rights to Jarris Bird, even though he doesn't have a contract. He can't play anywhere else unless the Bills assign his rights elsewhere.
Yeah, that's good. Good to know. Okay, thanks, John.
All right, thanks very much, Ken. Here is Tom in Williamsville. Hi, Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, John, a couple things. I was thinking that from the Bird end, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that if they're $1 million or $2 million apart, and they make a play for the one-year offer, he's going to lose that money this year and possibly next year if they come up the same squabble. Correct?
If you don't run that by me again. If they're a million or two apart for this year, say. So you're saying his franchise number is 6.9, which is $7 million, and if they're at 8 or 9, he would lose that money if he doesn't get a long-term deal? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. He's going to lose it this year and the possibility of next year.
Right.
But here's my thought. The Bills have a couple important players coming up next year. Wood, who's possibly the most important piece of their offensive line in years to be obviously a free agent, as well as C.J. Spiller. It does put them in a tough situation if they can't get either of those guys signed. Who do they stick the tags on next year?
Right. On the other hand, if by Jarris Bird playing under the terms of the franchise tag this year, they know exactly what he will cost them this year, and they can start to maybe approach Eric Wood about an extension this year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, but I was wondering, I mean, I know there's only maybe one other player, I think it's Vincent Jackson, who sat out during his, he wouldn't refuse to sign that tag. I was just wondering if Bird maybe thought he was going to hard press him because of the players that were up next year. But, you know, I give the Bills a little bit of credit, and I give, they're going to take a chance of losing an important player, but I think at this point, after the Mario Williams signing, you got to be careful with every nickel you spend going into the next 3 years to make this franchise successful. Good day,
yeah.
John.
All right, thanks, Tom. Thanks for calling. Yeah, and you make a good point. I also think by applying the tag this year and knowing it, and now that it's down to a one-year deal, Jarris Bird this year, and it's going to be in the neighborhood of $6.9 million, the Bills know exactly their cap status moving forward this year, and they can go to Eric Wood before he hits free agency this year, or C.J. Spiller, and say, here's what we've got, let's make a deal now and keep you off the market now, because they have certainty, and they're not tied up for anything more than $6.9 million with Jarris Bird this year. Again, I'm sure that wasn't the intent of what the Bills are doing when they got into this negotiation with Jarris, but I think it is a outcome now that we've gone past July 15th. We've got a a listener, Kayla from Clarence, who joins us right here at NOCO Express. Hi, Kayla. How old are you?
12.
Thanks for coming by. What brings you out here to NOCO Express tonight?
My dad.
Your dad? I know your dad. He's a good man. Hey, you had a question about the Bills, or what
yeah.
do you think? What's up?
I was wondering if the Bills would ever make the playoffs this season.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question. I wish I knew the answer to that, Kayla. Is your dad a Bills fan, or are you as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your dad is? Yeah. They need, and you're 12. You've never been around for a Bills in the playoffs, right? So that would be a
nope.
first. Yeah. Nope. I hear you, Kayla. It's been a long drought. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. I'm hoping, again, as we approach training camp, I'm hoping they can win 8 games, which probably would not get them in the playoffs. But I hope I'm a little bit under on the wins that they might get. But we'll see. It's going to be a fun year. It's going to be. I told somebody over the weekend, I don't know how good they're going to be, but I think they're going to be pretty interesting because of the new quarterback and the new coaching staff and the new coordinators and everything else that has changed. Kayla, thanks. We got a $10 gift card for you from NOCO Express. And take some other NOCO stuff over here. Grab something. Grab a schedule. We've got the schedule magnets for your refrigerator. I think your dad could use that, right? Right next to his Notre Dame schedule. Thanks for coming over, Kayla. Lines are open, too. If you want to stop by here at NOCO Express, we're at the Main Street and Young's Road at in Williamsville, right across the street from ECC. We got a $10 gift card if you want to step up to the mic here and ask a question. Or you can ring us up on the phone. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. My broadcast partner, Mark Kelso's going to join us next hour. We're going to talk about Jill's Week a little bit later on this hour. Here is Sean in Riverside. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
How you doing, John? I'm too far from Maine and Young's to come and see you, but I was
okay.
wondering about Harrisburg's contract. He's playing under his rookie contract. How much did he make in the last 3 years?
Ooh, that's a good question, Sean. I don't have those numbers at my fingertips. I don't know. I don't know. I could probably get that during the upcoming break. Why, what do you think?
That's 6.9 is probably more than he's ever made in his life so far.
Well, you know, over 4 years, he probably got close to that. But I looked it up. A second-round pick 4 years ago, I'll look that up. But you might be right. It might be close. You're saying he should
okay.
just take it?
You have a good night. Yeah, I think he should
All right.
take it.
All right, Sean, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. I should look that up because it doesn't have much relevance to moving forward as to what his value is now or what kind of money that, you know, the Bills might be trying to pay him as they move forward. But It probably would be instructive to find out what Jarris Bird made over the first 4 years of his career. Came into the league as a second rounder. I mean, I'd be willing to guess he was somewhere over $1 million, somewhere between $1 and $2 million this past year, but I'll look that up in a little bit. Well, if you just joined us, we're live at the NOCO Express on Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville, and we're here until 9 o'clock tonight. And we're helping NOCO kick off their 80th birthday bash scratch-and-win contest giveaway. If you stop by here and you buy any NOCO products, you get a free scratch-and-win card, and you can pick up NOCO Express. You might win NOCO Express gift cards or natural gas or NOCO electric for a year, free gas for a year, Buffalo Bills tickets, catering from NOCO, 46-inch televisions, iPad minis, all of that going on over the next several weeks in NOCO's 80th birthday bash celebration. It goes through August 20th, and we're helping kick it off tonight with our appearance here. We're at the NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville. We'll be here until 9 o'clock tonight. If you stop by and step up to the mic and ask a question, we've got a $10 NOCO Express gift card to give you. And if you stop by, we've got all sorts of things to give away. So stop by and say hello at NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville. We're going to take a break and then come back. We're going to talk about Jill's Week on BuffaloBills.com when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, coming to you live from NOCO Express on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The radio show tonight coming to you live from NOCO Express, the store at Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville. Stop by. We've got all sorts of giveaways. And if you step up to the mic here, we've got a $10 NOCO Express gift card to give you as well. You may not know it, but it is Jill's Week all over Bills country. It is Jill's Week. You can check it out at BuffaloBills.com. Joining us at NOCO Express right now is the director of the Buffalo Jills, Stephanie Madison. Stephanie, thanks for coming by.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming, and thanks for bringing three of your finest.
Yes, and this is actually three of our cover finalists. So if anybody, you know, wants to come on by and get some autographs or photos with the girls, we hope they do.
You know, tell us about the calendar. I know that's big for you guys. And when you say cover finalists, you're talking about the cover for the calendar that comes
yes,
out, right?
Yes, it's very exciting. This is the first time we're doing it this way. And the Bills are each day featuring a different cover finalist. So today, Ashley was featured. She's one of the young ladies here today. And tomorrow it'll be a different girl and so on.
Featured at BuffaloBills.com.
Yes. Also, it will be on Facebook, on Buffalo Bills Facebook, too. And everybody kind of gets to go on there and see what they think of all our finalists. And then on the Monday, we're going to release who the cover is.
And I was mentioning to Ashley, her feature was in the wintertime, right? At
yes.
A ski area locally, right?
We did a shoot in February at Holiday Valley out in Ellicottville. And, you know, it's so funny because people comment like, oh, that's Photoshopped and you've got a green screen. But it's not. She was actually in her bikini in the snow. But we get some of the best shots. You know, it just screams Buffalo, so it's awesome.
You know, when you look at that at BuffaloBills.com, and we did look at it at work today, and there are regular skiers and snowboarders right behind us.
Right.
How did that go over?
Well, we were hoping nobody would crash.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, occasionally they would kind of stop and see what was going on. But, you know, for the most part, people thought it was pretty cool and, you know, wanted pictures with the girls afterwards. And, you know, it was neat for Holiday Valley. And, you know, the girls had a lot of fun doing it. And it's something different than what people expect.
All of this for the Buffalo Jill's calendar. What else, and who are some of the other cover subjects in Buffalo Jill's calendar?
Well, we were also at Turning Stone at the resort out there, which is gorgeous. We took a bunch of girls there and got some amazing, amazing shots out at Turning Stone. We also went to Siesta Key, Florida, and that was amazing. Took a large group of girls down there in May. So there's great shots there. And we also have a couple of photos at our sponsors like Catalyst and Auction Direct. And, you know, you got to have girls in hot cars, so we have that as well. But, you know, it's just if people want to see what's going on, you know, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes video, too, at BuffaloBills.com. So they can kind of see what, you know, making of the calendar. So that's kind of neat, too.
Tell me about the production of the calendar in general. How many years have the Jills produced their own calendar?
Well, this is my 12th season doing it, and they probably went for about 5 years even before me. So it's been for quite some time. We've, you know, really evolved throughout the years and has gotten a little more competitive with all the other NFL squads, I think. You know, Buffalo has some really beautiful young ladies, and it's a great way for us to feature that.
And the calendar comes out when?
It will be out by home opener, and you can get it at BuffaloBills.com. Actually, as of next Monday, you can pre-order your calendar. You can also get it at the games. The girls are walking around at all the tailgates, and they'll be walking around with a crowd. You can get it from there, too, and in the store, of course.
So the calendar covers what, the fall and the following year?
It's
Is that how you do?
16 months.
16
so it
months.
Actually starts this September through December of 2014.
Okay, so you got 16 different shots of Jill's.
Yes,
out.
And each month has two girls.
Oh,
so
okay.
Double the value of your month.
And is all the photography complete? Is it all finished now?
We are done with our photography. Fisher Creative Image Photography have been our photographers for years. They do an amazing job, and they really do a great job at capturing, you know, each girl's, you know, their soul and how they're comfortable and just makes them comfortable in whatever setting they are. So what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks is kind of putting the calendar together, you know, who goes on what month and what order we're doing what. And, you know, that's a lot of fun, too, even after all the photos are done.
Well, you have to plot it out, though, a little bit in advance, right, for the certain pictures you take, the wintertime pictures, the summertime pictures.
Right, of course, you know, we like to put our winter shots in the winter months and so on. So there's, you know, a lot of moving around that has to do. You have, you know, different horizontal and vertical shots that can and cannot go together. And there's a lot more that goes into it than what people think. But, you know, when it's all said and done, it's really a great product for Buffalo.
How many calendars do you typically sell?
Well, you know, Buffalo being a smaller market, we usually sell almost 4,000 calendars here in Buffalo. This year, we're hoping to release our app as well, which is going to have some of the swimsuit photos featured there. But, you know, we're always willing to order more. If people want to buy it more, we'll have them ready for everybody.
That's a lot, though. How much do they cost?
They're $15.
Okay.
And it's all to support the Jill's organization. And, you know, the young ladies are out all season long selling them at appearances and, like I said, the Bills game. So it's a really great way to support the Jills.
Stephanie, your involvement with the Jills, you are a former Jill yourself,
yes.
Right? How long were you with the Jills?
I was a Jill for 8 years.
Okay.
And then became active in the alumni. And then when the opportunity came up, I was lucky enough to make it my career. So they say to do something you love. So they're really like my extended family.
And how long has it been a career for you?
Over 12 years now.
Okay.
Yes, it's been, it's amazing. It's not even like work. It's like working with, you know, 35 beautiful young ladies all day. So.
And do you select the Jills then? Are you in charge of doing that?
Well, ultimately, but I do have a panel of judges. We have auditions in March, and, you know, input from all the different various backgrounds for our judges is really important. But ultimately, I do give them my stamp of approval, and then we kind of go through our training camp, which we're doing right now. We start practicing right away, and we actually start practicing before the build.
Yeah, I think I've seen some practices at the Fieldhouse in recent weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. They work very, very hard all summer long, and they're doing appearances 12 months out of the year. So they all live around here, so they're available to the community, you know, all year long, and are out there doing all kinds of great appearances.
What are the criteria for selection to be a Buffalo Joe? What are you looking for when you make those picks?
Well, at the very minimum, they have to be at least 18 years old. A lot of people think they have to be a dancer, but now we have an ambassador squad. So we have a group of young ladies that are just specially trained in appearances. So, you know, even if you're a young lady and you think you have the look but you don't dance, we still love for them to come out to auditions. They have to be available Tuesday and Thursday evenings. That's when we have our practices, and also for a good amount of appearances throughout the season. But, you know, we do a lot of etiquette training and a lot of education with working with different people. And, of course, you know, being physically fit and healthy is really just what you need. And it's great to just come out and see what it's about.
And these are not full-time jobs, but it sounds like it's a pretty major commitment on the part of the Jills, right?
Right. It is not a full-time job. It's definitely part-time, but it does require a lot of time on their what they volunteer for. So they really have to love it, love being out in the public eye, love performing if that's the part of the organization that they're going to do. They have to love football, obviously, and love the Buffalo Bills. And it's a really great stepping stone for a lot of young ladies to progress in their careers or even to network.
Stephanie, how long do most Jills stay on the squad? A couple of years, 5 years?
It really varies. Anywhere from 1 to 6 years is pretty average. But one of our young ladies was the longest in the NFL. She cheered for 13 years.
Really?
And she just came over to management this season. That's Omarla. And I checked around the whole league, and that was the longest any girl has been an NFL cheerleader consecutively.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to have here in Buffalo.
All right, so the Jills will be here until 9 tonight, and you'll be here with them as well. And,
yeah.
And all of this, again, part of Jills Week on BuffaloBills.com. Really,
yes.
It's I looked at it today. It's sort of behind the scenes of what goes into the production of the calendar, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of people say, how come you don't do, you know, a making of the calendar? Well, this is it.
This is it.
Hannah Bueller from the Bills did an amazing job. She came on all of our shoots with us and got a lot of great behind-the-scenes footage, interviewed the girls, and saw what it was like shooting the calendar. So I really encourage people to check it out at BuffaloBills.com. And, you know, let us know what you think of the Jills pictures, and get the calendar when it comes out.
And you can pre-order now at BuffaloBills.com.
Next Monday. Once we announce the actual cover, it will be available for sale on the website.
And when's the cover announcement?
It will be Monday at noon on BuffaloBills.com.
All right. We'll be looking for that.
Thank you.
Stephanie, thanks for coming by. Thanks for bringing the Jills. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Stephanie Madison is the director of the Buffalo Jills. This is Jills Week at BuffaloBills.com. All of the things Stephanie just talked about right there at BuffaloBills.com, including the announcement of the cover, the front and back cover for the calendar this year at BuffaloBills.com, coming up on Monday at 12 noon. We'll take a break and then get back. We'll talk with some Bills fans here at NOCO Express, and we'll take some phone calls as well. If you want to phone them in, 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. We'll be back with more of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from NOCO Express, Main Street and Youngs Road in Williamsville. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
All right, thanks to Stephanie Madison, director of the Buffalo Jills. Again, Jills Week. Right now at BuffaloBills.com all week long. You can check that out. We're coming to you live from NOCO Express at the store at Main Street and Youngs Road in Williamsville. Stop by. We've got all kinds of NOCO gear to give away. T-shirts, hats, keychains, pens, koozies. We also want to play a little trivia tonight for those of you listening on the phone, listening on the radio. If you have the answer to this question, the first person to answer correctly, we've got an autographed mini helmet from Stevie Johnson to give away. Is it Stevie, Russ? It is Stevie, I believe. Yeah.
It is,
right.
Stevie, SJ13.
So, yeah. We got an autographed Stevie Johnson mini helmet. If you know the answer, you're the first person to get it correctly. Dial us at 803-0550 or toll free 1-888-550-2550. Here's a question. Stevie Johnson's first career touchdown reception came against the Jets December 14th, 2008. Who was the quarterback who threw that pass? First person to come here or on the phone, Russ? What do you want to do? Let's do it on the phone.
You want to do it on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
First person on the phone with that correct answer gets an autographed Stevie Johnson mini helmet. We've also got official Buffalo Bills hats from New Era if you want to come by and answer that question as well.
The show's coming to us, Murph.
the show is coming to us. That's right.
It is.
All right, we're live here at the NOCO Express, and we've got a listener right here at NOCO has a question, and your name is Mike from Clarence.
Yeah,
I know that.
But just call me Cal.
Do people call me Cal?
Yeah.
What's up, Cal?
I'm just wondering, we're beating this with Bird and everything, but the question is, with Eugene Parker, a few years ago we had, who was it, Peters?
Yes, Jason
you think
Peters.
You think this is going to be like a trend?
Well, you know what I think, Cal? Mike? Parker doesn't have any leverage that Jarris Bird doesn't provide him. The reason why they can play hardball is because Jarris Bird is a really, really good player with production, with takeaways and impact plays. Without that, Eugene Parker is not a hard guy or a tough agent. That's why he's able to drive a hard bargain, I think. Eugene Parker is a fine agent, does a good job for his clients, and he has over several years. But it's not like he's this figure that everybody should be in fear of. You know, I think he's a pretty good agent. I wouldn't worry about Eugene Parker.
But, you know, he's an all-pro.
Yes.
And you can't let all your all-pros go. I mean,
well, who else? What other all pros have they let go?
Well, Peters.
Well, he forced the issue.
He forced the issue.
Yes, because he wouldn't show up and wouldn't practice or play. But you know, Stevie Johnson, they got him signed to a contract.
Yeah, but was Parker his agent?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it really doesn't. Really
they don't.
Have
let,
to do
I mean, there's a perception that the Bills let their good players walk, and they don't really. I don't think they do. Stevie Johnson, Fred Jackson, they re-upped Ryan Fitzpatrick when they thought he was the answer at quarterback. They don't.
Now, do you think with this young regime for the administration, they're playing hardball, or you think they're just playing it smart?
I think they're playing it hard and smart. They're playing. I think they have a feeling of how much they want to pay a safety, and they don't want to go over that. And I think they're using all the leverage they can to get it done.
So you think with the two draft picks they picked, right? You know.
Well, they got two safeties in the draft. You're right. Yeah, that means something too. Mike, always good to see you. We got a NOCO gift card for you, and thanks very much for coming by. We have our winner on the line on the trivia question. He is Jason. Hi, Jason. You're on the air with us.
Was it J.P. Lossman?
It was J.P. Lossman. Do you remember the game?
I do not.
All right. Well, you're a winner, and we've got an autographed mini helmet from Stevie Johnson to send your way if you can stay on the line, and we'll get all the information we need from you as to where to make arrangements to get that get that to you. Thanks very much, Jason, for playing along. It was J.P. Lossman, the quarterback who threw the first touchdown pass that Stevie Johnson ever caught back on December 14th, 2008, against the New York Jets. Jason, you're a winner. Thanks very much. We have another listener here at NOCO Express who sat down. What's your name, sir?
Braden.
Braden, thanks for coming by. Were you in the neighborhood, or how did you make your way here to NOCO Express?
Yeah, I was just across the street.
Great. Thanks for coming by. What's on your mind tonight about the Bills?
I was wondering what Bills fans can expect from Manny Lawson this year?
It's a good question. A guy who I think fits into sort of the hybrid role they have on the defensive side of the ball. I think he'll probably be a pass rush type linebacker, a rush linebacker. I think they're hoping that is he an every down player? Probably not, but I think he's a guy that they definitely want to use in situations and have him rush the passer. What do you think of that acquisition? Are you good with that?
I think it's a solid pickup to boost some of our backup guys. You know, Mike Pettine's pretty good at deep.
Yeah, so. He certainly is. Brayden, thanks very much. Thanks for coming by. We got a NOCO gift card for you. Thanks very much for coming by. All right, let's take another call. We'll go to Ken in the Bronx. Hi, Ken. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show. How are you, Ken? Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I want to this question. It's because of the Bird situation. We're going to run the same, basically the same defense the Jets played, right? And they always played it with a good safety. If we don't get Bird back in, we're going to have really pretty much two no-name safeties back there. And that concerns me a lot. If we could have met him a little halfway, what does Bird want money-wise? And what are the Bills going to give up for this long-term deal? Thank you.
Okay, we don't know those numbers exactly. There are reports today that Bird wanted to be the highest paid safety in the NFL, which would take him out to about $9 million a year. I think we can infer that the Bills wanted to pay less than that, and they weren't able to get a long-term deal going. They do have other options at safety, including Aaron Williams, who was moved over to safety in the spring. They drafted two safeties, Jonathan Meeks and Duke Williams, and, the cupboard is not bare. One more question here from NOCO Express. Sir, your name, please. JJ, where are you from?
Bloomsville, right down the street.
Oh, good. Thanks for coming by. What's up? What's on your mind today?
Do you think the Bills are playing, I don't want to say hardball, but using their leverage, like you said, because of the position he plays?
Yes.
A safety, you know, the front seven I always found was more important to how bad, you know, the back guys play. Do you think that's what's going in their mind?
I do. I think you're definitely onto something there. I think there's a value that they and other teams have on safeties, and I think they value pass rushers more and maybe, you know, anchors on the defensive line against the run game more. A playmaking safety is valuable. $6.9 million is a lot of money, obviously, and it would put him, I think, seventh in safety pay, you know, in the upcoming year. He wants to be up at the top or near the top. That's understandable. But, yeah, I think it's a value judgment on how much is a safety worth. Don't you agree?
I think so, too. I love him as a player, but I think the front seven is more important. I'd like to see him on a real good front seven. Like I think somebody on the earlier mentioned if he was, like, on Seattle or San Francisco, sure. How good could he really be?
Yeah.
But on our team, I don't know.
JJ, thanks for coming by. We got a NOCO Express gift card for you. Thank you. Okay, we've got Mark Kelso coming up, my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network. He's going to join us next hour. Got one more hour to go here at NOCO Express. Stop by. We're here until 9 tonight. NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road in Williamsville. That's where we're doing the show from tonight. We'd like to see you. All kinds of giveaways here, Bill schedules, NOCO gear. So stop by and say hello. Ask a question. We'll give you a NOCO Express gift card. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from NOCO Express, Main Street and Young's Road on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
I don't know what we're yelling about.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Welcome back, hour two of the John Murphy Show, coming to you live from NOCO Express, Main Street, Young's Road in Williamsville. We help them celebrate NOCO's 80th birthday bash celebration. Stop by, all kinds of things to give away, Bills, refrigerator magnet schedules, Bills caps, NOCO gear. Stop by, say hello. If we get you on the air with a question or a comment, we'll give you a $10 NOCO Express gift card if we put you on the air. And joining us right now, my broadcast partner.
80 years, we got to give more than $10 gift card.
Well, we've had a lot of questions.
A tank of gas or something.
Well, $10 goes a little way. Mark Kelso joins us, my broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network. Thanks very much for coming by. You work around the corner, so this wasn't too much of a hassle for you, was it?
Except I went back home in between.
Oh,
that's all right.
And I told you casual, and then you show up.
Anything for you, buddy.
You show up with a shirt and tie after I told you casual. But thanks for coming.
My pleasure.
Your protege, Jarris Bird, in the news today. Did not get a long-term deal done, and now it's 1 year with the Bills at best. What do you think?
But he didn't sign that, right?
Did not sign the franchise tender.
Well, you know, he wants, with the kid from San Diego, got. I think that's the number he's looking at, probably the Weddle number. I don't know what the interception comparison is over the years. I'm guessing that Jarris is pretty close. Weddle's had a pretty good career so far, I'll say this. You know, you can call any real estate agent in Western New York, and $6 million in Buffalo is a lot better than $8 million in San Diego. I can tell you that. But we need Jarris Bird. The team needs Jarris Bird. And the only thing that concerns me about it, Murph, is that I don't know if that's an inkling that the fact that does he really want to be here? And I think that he does. He's a terrific young man, a great leader, and he's got to be the leader of this defensive unit. And he's got to be here if this defensive unit is going to play to the potential which the new coaching staff feels that it has. So he just has to be the leader. And I don't have any problem with him not signing, not doing a long-term deal because he wants to squeeze a little bit more. And quite frankly, if there's money to give around, you know, to throw around, and the Bills have it, then he's one of the guys on the team that they should pay because I think character counts, and he's a great guy in the locker room. He does everything right on and off the field, and he's a terrific player, and he's going to lead that unit. So, you know, if you're going to invest in your players and invest in guys that they drafted, which is the philosophy that Doug Whaley has and Buddy Nix had prior to him, then I think it's a worthwhile investment, and maybe over the course of the year the Bills will change a little bit. They can meet halfway, and as that old Alabama song says, and meet somewhere in the middle and get it done.
We're live with Mark Kelso, my broadcast partner, the former Bills safety color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. If you have a comment or a question for Mark, give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. We're live at NOCO Express, Main Street, Youngs Road in Waynesville. And if you have a question for Mark that you'd like to vocalize in person, up close and personal, you can do it right here, and we'll give you a $10 NOCO gas gift card along with that. So stop by and say hello. Mark, as a former player, and you had a, you went through a couple of contract negotiations, how much does a player surrender his rights to his agent? I mean, how much does, how much faith does a player put in an agent to do what's best for him?
Yeah,
and you know what I'm thinking of in terms of Jerry Bird.
Yeah, sure. Sometimes too much, I think, obviously. I mean, those guys, I mean, they're hired to do a job, and generally they do it well, and their job is to get you the most value that they possibly can for your services. And but I don't come at it with that angle. I mean, this is a, I mean, they're making so much money these days, and we've talked about this before. I mean, what's the difference between 6.5 and 8.2? I can figure the numbers out. I know what the difference is, you know, because I taught fifth grade. So I can add and subtract.
So you're smarter than
I
a fifth grader.
Well, I don't know, maybe smarter than a fifth grader. I had some kids that were really smart. I would tell you, one of them is working for the Bills now in the ticket office, and he is doing a great job.
Who's that?
It's Sean O'Brien.
Okay.
See, he's doing a really nice job. And see, he was a Mr. Kelso protege.
Okay.
So, but you know, I know what the difference is, but then again, you gotta look at, the money is so great these days that I don't think that they should factor the money in when they're making their decision. And that's what scares me, because if Jairus isn't factoring the money in, which it seems as though he is, because he's unhappy that, you know, he wants the guys equate their salary level to the way the league values them as a player, and he feels like he's as valuable as Eric Weddle and those guys, so he wants to be paid commensurate with what they're making. But, you know, I say, look, you're in an organization that is going to get better in the next few years. Everything looks good with the new coaching staff and the personnel. This is the deepest, I think, camp personnel going into a training camp. I mean, since I've been in with the broadcast, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with that.
Concur with
sure.
that. I mean, there's some deep talent here, and they got some guys in the draft that some guys that have had some terrific production in college, and if that translates to the NFL, then they're going to be a much better team in future years. But now you have an opportunity. Jairus has an opportunity to take a team that he started with, that drafted him, that saw potential in him, and say, I'm going to lead this team to kind of a new generation of success here with the Bills, with the organization. And you know, the team hasn't been in the playoffs, and I don't remember how long is that TV that in your house that Mark said.
13 years, you know, the number without a playoff.
Okay, so 13 years. So they haven't been to the playoffs. They have an opportunity to do that, and hopefully with the same things that I hear about E.J. Manuel and some of the talent in the building and with some of the draft picks in the next couple of years as well, that they'll have an opportunity to make a dent here in the next few years, 4 or 5 years, And I think, I mean, I would want to be a part of it, because he's a part of the foundation, the building blocks of what's to come in the next several years.
You know Jairus pretty well. What do you think's going through his head in this negotiation?
Well, and that therein lies the comment you made earlier about how much influence an agent has. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got too much influence, because I think Jairus's heart is, I want to lead my team. I want to make a difference in the city where I'm playing, and I want to make as much money as I can. But you can't always have all those things. I mean, you know, you can live on a hill with a view of the city, but you can't have a stream running through your property or a lake, you know. So you can only have so many pieces of the puzzle, and he's got a lot of those pieces, and he's going to, crying out loud, he's going to make darn good money. But, again, if the money's there and the Bills have some additional money, then why not throw a couple $1 million more?
Yeah.
Again, meet halfway.
Right.
And that's what negotiations are all about, and you know, an agent wants to make as much money as he can, but it does come down a lot of times. It's ego. It's driven by ego, and Jairus is not, I mean, he doesn't appear to me, and I don't want people to think that we have dinner on a weekly basis. I mean, I have great conversations with Jairus. We've done some football stuff together. We have, you know, conversations throughout the course of the season. You know, I wouldn't call him a real close friend, because he doesn't, you know, we don't communicate that often, but certainly I would consider him a friend, and I'd be willing to offer him my advice. Quite frankly, I already did, but that was, you know, long before the offseason got underway, and I told him, the things that I'm telling you. I said, take money off the table and make your decision about where you want to be as a football player. What kind of city do you want to live in? Where do you want to raise a family? Because quite frankly, if he's going to have a family, he'd probably start this time in his career.
Yeah.
So is this a great place to raise a family? What about the cost of living? What can you do for the community? Those are the things. Are you part of a team and part of a program that you think can win in the next 4 or 5 years? Because you want to be part of a winner. Are you part of a team that you are the building blocks to the success of that team? And that's, again, I think there's supreme value in that. He can be a cornerstone of a renaissance of the Bills that hasn't been seen in 13 years. And I think there'll be, to me, that's worth a lot more than $10 extra million.
Let me run this by. What's the chance that Jarris Bird takes into consideration the stuff you say, especially when it comes to having a chance to win? And if look at it from his standpoint for a second, he's looking at going into his fifth year in the league, going into his third head coach, his third defensive coordinator, right, since he's entered the league. And he's probably thinking, it's got to be better somewhere else. Could he not think that way and take into account what you said?
Right.
Taking money off the table and say, I've got to find a better situation than what I've seen here in Buffalo for the last 4 years.
Well, that's the scary part of the proposition, because if in fact he feels that way, then perhaps there's a part of him that doesn't see his long-term future being here in Buffalo, and that would bother me. And quite frankly, if that's the way he feels, I wouldn't want him to be part of the team, because he's got to be a leader. You can't be a leader when you're thinking about someplace else. So, I don't know what's going through his head right now. Like I said, we had a conversation at the beginning of the offseason, and I laid out my thoughts to him, and he was respectful, extremely respectful, like he always is, about my opinion. But I don't know, I don't know what he feels about that opinion, but... his dad was a guy who, Gil didn't play for, who did he play for? Did he switch teams at the end of his career?
I can't recall.
I don't either, but I know he played 9 or 10 years with San Diego, so he spent a lot of time with one club and made a difference, and was a big part of that community in San Diego, and a big part of the, what went on there, and was a great role model in that community. And I would think that Jarris would want to, follow in those footsteps and do the same thing, which he's already done here in Buffalo, and he's made his mark so far. Let's continue to make the mark, but now let's take the team and be the leader that he is and has been, and take the team to a new level of success.
Live with Mark Kelso, my color broadcast partner on the Bills Radio Network. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live tonight at NOCO Express Main Street in Youngs Road in Waynesville. Here until 9, you can stop by, say hello to me or Mark. You can pick up some free NOCO gear. You can, if you step up to the microphone and ask a question, we've got a $10 NOCO gift card to give you, too. Yes, sir.
And I am... Remember, I said I'm smarter than a fifth grader. Now, Mark and I would be the proper
Mark
English
and I?
Side. Yes.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
I blew that.
Mark and I.
Hey, what's the chance that when the Bills evaluate where they're at in this negotiation, when the team evaluates it, they don't put as much value on safety as maybe they have in the past, or maybe the rest of the league does?
Well, that would be a big mistake.
Tell me why in this defense, and take your background out of it for a second, but what's the chance that maybe they look at it and say, you know what, we don't want to invest that kind of money in the safety?
Well, or you get invested in. I mean, maybe because they invested a lot of money in a defensive end position last year, and they got good production out of Mario, not commensurate with what I think he can do because of his injury situation early in the ongoing last year at the beginning of the season. But, you just have to look at the club. I don't necessarily think it has to run with the position. It's not, to me, it's not like an offensive line situation where you're generally going to pay your left tackle, if you have a right-handed quarterback, the most money, because he's the most valuable piece, and then the center, in my mind, is probably the next most valuable piece, and then a guard who can move. So they're slotted in that regard. And defensively, I think, you've got a pass rusher who can make a huge difference. So if that's your number one piece, if you have that guy or that guy's available in the league, the number two piece is a lockdown corner that you can just send them out there and say, hey, go out there and cover this guy. We don't care what else you do, just cover this guy, and you can take away their best receiver. And the next is a guy who can lead the defense and make big plays, and that's where I think they see Jarris fitting in. I mean, I think you'd there's a lot of teams that you can make an argument that the best guy defensively on the field is the guy at the safety position if he's making big plays. Like look at Polamalu, and I know he's a little past his prime in Pittsburgh, but all the production, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Ed Reed's the same way. And all the big plays that those guys make by virtue of their instinctiveness and just the feel that they have for the game, not always technically sound. Quite frankly, technically unsound, but they're tremendous athletes that make huge plays in big games.
Well, what about, first of all, is there any distinction to be made anymore between free and strong safeties? Because when I think of Polamalu, he doesn't play at all like the way Jarris Bird plays.
Right, and he's not, the times when he has difficulty is when he's forced to backpedal and he's forced to play the deep middle, deep half. He's much better in the box. He's much better in man coverage. Or when they have a good pass rush, so he's a downhill, what I would call a downhill guy, because he lines up, when he's playing the deep middle or the deep half, he's going to line up 18 or 20 yards deep. He's not really going to backpedal much. He's just going to walk out, use his athleticism, and be instinctive to make plays on the football. But I don't think there's really not a difference because guys play both sides. I mean, they're going to be a box guy, they're going to be a deep guy, but they're going to be used interchangeably. Certainly some programs are going to use them, but Clark in Pittsburgh would be more akin to Jarris Bird than a Polamalu would. Yeah, absolutely, because Polamalu is going to play up near the football, within the first 5 or 6 yards in that box area, and that's where he's going to have his most effectiveness. And quite frankly, when you look at those guys, and tell me when a guy like that is not effective, when you protect and you force them to backpedal. And then just all you got to do is look at the Super Bowl against Arizona. What did they do in the second half? They max protected, sent two guys out of the pattern. They forced those guys to work on the back end, a skill set that's not their greatest asset. And that's when they had success offensively and almost stole that game from the Steelers. So, but guys have different skill sets. And I still think there's guys that have skill sets that align themselves more with being a box player or a deep half or a deep third player.
Well, again, from the Bills' perspective, if you're the Buffalo Bills and you've got a couple of years invested into Norris Searcy, and then you moved Aaron Williams back to play safety, and then you draft two safeties this year in April, you might be thinking, how much do we want to pay? How bad do we really need him? And are we sufficiently backstopped enough in case he doesn't sign?
A big fat no.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I like the Norris Searcy. Aaron Williams is going to take some time. It has a great skill set that lends itself, I think, to being a very good free safety. But you got to learn the position. Things happen from all over the field when you're at the safety position. Guys think that some people think you can just walk back there and line up at the safety position and just make plays. You can't do that because you got guys coming from every angle. You have to be aware. Your peripheral vision has to be much better than it is when you're playing corner position because you're a one-sided player. When you're a free safety or a strong safety, you're a two-sided player, and you have to see guys on both sides of the ball. And I think Aaron Williams will be very good, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
I'm not saying there might not be a drop-off, but, I'm not saying that anyone of those guys...
If you're saying to me, okay, I'm Jim Overdorf now, right? I'm sure I'll get in trouble for this one tomorrow, right? I'm Jim Overdorf.
Not tonight.
I'm saying, right, they offered him 6.9, he wants 8.2, cut it in half. What's that, 1.3? So 650,000, does that work?
No, wait a minute. You're off.
Whatever.
We're talking about safeties here.
I know, but give them, just split the difference in the middle, offer them that, and be done with it. I don't understand the problem here. There's enough money in the kitty, is there not?
Yeah, maybe, again, you're making it pretty one-sided. Maybe that's not enough for Jarris Bird.
Well, it isn't. But I would think, in my mind, that would be a good faith offer on the Bills' part to say, you're this valuable to us. No, we don't want to pay you like that. And quite frankly, they can pay you that in San Diego or some other place. You can go to Washington, D.C. and make that kind of money, and you're going to be living the cost of living is so much higher there. It doesn't matter.
And now, of course, that ship...
So it's an ego thing. Then it's an ego thing.
But that ship has sailed.
All right.
There's not going to be a long-term deal.
So sign a tender, be in camp on time. My understanding is that Jarris has had conversations with people in the building, players and other people in the building, and he understands how important it is that he is there when camp opens because there's a lot of things that have changed defensively and things that he's going to need to be up to speed on so he can be the leader of that unit like he is. And I think he understands that.
The Bills that he be there on time.
Well, it's important for him, too, because I don't think you can condition yourself as much as you possibly want, but until you're doing it day in and day out in a competitive situation with your teammates, you're not going to be in top condition to open a season.
Yeah, anybody pass that message along to his agent, Eugene Parker? It's important for him to be here first of training camp because he's probably thinking, no, that's the only last shred of any possible influence or leverage that we might have.
Yeah, and I would beg to differ to say, here's what I have, the leverage. I say, look, we're not happy with the deal, but we're going to take the tender, this year, and I'm going to show up on time because this is my defense, and I'm going to lead this defense, and I'm going to show you that I'm worthy of that extra money. And then we'll see what happens at the end of the season when we renegotiate. And that's the way I would approach it from an agent perspective. Unfortunately, I think I'm in the minority in that regard.
Live with Mark Kelso, my broadcast partner in the Bills Radio Network. If you have comments or questions for Mark about the Jairus Byrd situation or anything else, 803-0550 is the number. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. How much does Jairus distance himself from his teammates if he misses training camp? I mean, you've been in that locker room. Typically, it seems to me when players make a play for money, when they come back, they're kind of welcomed with open arms.
It doesn't matter
to the rest of the
team. And I agree with that. I would agree with that from a teammate perspective. But just from a terminology perspective and an efficiency of defense perspective, there's things that have changed that you can't, you're not going to be able to perfect without the virtue of repetition. And you have to have the camp repetition to make it happen. You have to. And if you don't have that, then guess when the repetition is going to come?
September 8th?
Yeah, September 8th or September 17th or 15th and subsequent weeks. And it's not going to be till week 7 or week 8 till he's playing at the level that's a Pro Bowl level that he's capable of, because he's thinking too much when he's playing. You can't think when you play, you play. You think before, you play during. We've said that many, many times.
Mark, last week, Monday, we had John Clayton from ESPN on the show. He wrote a post on ESPN.com where he said the franchise tag doesn't really work anymore. And I wonder if with what happened today or what didn't happen with Jairus and the fact that most of the guys who were tagged, I think only one of them, Ryan Clady, agreed to a long-term deal out of the, eight tags that were handed out back in March. It would indicate that the franchise tag isn't really doing what maybe it was intended to do back, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I have to probably respectfully decline, because I don't even really know what the purpose of a franchise tag is. I know to pay the guy less than he can get more in the market.
It's
to keep people on their team. But I must say that I have a different philosophy than Jairus, because I think we share a lot of similar thoughts and similar philosophies and similar faiths. But I'm saying my philosophy is different. You know, I'm not saying I was a guy when I played that had the opportunity to leave teams. But I never wanted to leave a team. I wanted to take the team I was on and make it the best it possibly could be. That, to me, was the satisfaction. Not jumping to some other team that's already got every piece in place, but I'm the missing piece of the puzzle. No, take the guys you got, be the leader on this club, and show the characters, the leadership that you need to in the locker room. Make sure you have the right guys around you, and you teach those guys by virtue of your example and sometimes by your vocalness what you need to do day in and day out to be successful in this league. And the Bills have not done that. And now, you know, if they can do that, there's more satisfaction in that than making a couple extra $1 million to take this team, put them in the playoffs, and make this team a difference maker in a group of 32 teams in this NFL, which they haven't been in a long, long time.
I know, I think after talking to you, and we're not going to, this is the last question about Byrd, and I think I know what you wish would have happened or what you hope would happen. Now, realistically, how do you think this will play out?
Realistically, I think I don't know. I hate, speculation is like, I did teach fifth grade, so I was into speculation, you know. I gave him the stuff, and here's how to do it. But I'm guessing that his agent will convince him that he needs to make a statement, hold out a week. I would hope that he doesn't miss the first preseason game. I have an inkling that he would do that and then come in after the first preseason game. And I have no credibility to even say that, other than that's just my opinion. I mean, I didn't talk to Jairus. I haven't talked to anybody in recent weeks about this situation, so I have no idea. You know, I didn't have a conversation with him today, and someone mentioned that. But I'm saying if he wants to make a statement, and I'm Jairus, then I'm saying to my agent, and if I'm negotiating with my agent, I'm saying, okay, I understand you want to make a statement, but I got to have a good year this year to show these people that I'm worth more than they're willing to pay me, and I can't do that if I miss more than one preseason game. I would think that's the benchmark date that he would have to make in his own mind to be here in camp.
You're like an agent's worst nightmare.
Well,
you are. Who was your agent? Did you do your own stuff?
I don't like agents. I don't like. I'm sorry. I'm going to get a lot of flack for that one.
Did you do your own
agents? No, I did
Who
not.
Did you
I,
have?
Joe Shaw did some work for me.
Local attorney
Joe
Shaw.
Work for me. But he wasn't, that wasn't his game. I mean, he was a local lawyer who did... you know, contract negotiations.
He did a number of
years. Some players.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he had a lot of guys and local guys. And he was with Steve for a long, long time. But I tried to guide him to say, here's what I want you to do, not tell me what you think I should do. Because they're coming at it from a business perspective, and they're not coming at it from a football perspective. I think you need to come at it from a football perspective. And, again, we're not the money is so great these days. I'm not talking about the difference between, you know, a half a million and 200,000. That's a lot of money. The difference between 8 and 6 is just, in my mind, is just not that much.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. You can stick around for a few more minutes, right?
Yeah, well, I thought you had me till 9.
I do, if you'll stay that long.
All right.
Mark Kelso,
we need to talk about CJ because
yes.
The number on his jersey is the number that they ranked the Bills this year. But ironically, they show a picture of CJ Spiller, who's like a top 5 back in the league, and say the Bills are going to be 28th. Well, yeah, but you got like one of the best backs in the league that you're doing that with. So, I don't know. There's some teams ahead of the Bills that I'm like, really?
Yeah.
We'll Jacksonville?
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about it. Mark Kelso, our guest. Come on out. We're at the NOCO Express, Main Street and Youngs Road. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from NOCO Express on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Coming to you live from NOCO Express, Main Street, Youngs Road in Williamsville. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO here for another half hour or so. Stop by, all sorts of giveaways here. And if you ask a question live on our air here at NOCO Express, we've got a $10 NOCO gift card to give away to you. You can do it that way. You can phone us up. 803-0550 is the number, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Joined by Mark Kelso, longtime Bills safety and my partner on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Thanks for coming by, Mark. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anything
for
you.
The sun is not in your eyes anymore.
Anything for you. You know that.
You feel better now, don't you?
I do.
We have a question from the audience here. James joins us. Hi, James. Thanks for coming by.
Hi, Mark. Hi, John. How y'all doing today?
Great. Thanks for having
me. I'm a big fan of yours, John. I followed you all the way through your years with the Bills on the 90s and going to the Super Bowl.
I appreciate that.
Was that helmet that you wore very comfortable?
It was a regular helmet, but it had a pad on the outside. So, yeah, comfortable. And helmet technology... We don't have time to launch
the
helmet
technology. Oh, you got them going now, James.
We'll go for like hours. But helmet technology is going to change in the next 24 months. I can almost guarantee that.
And hopefully Mark's going to cash in on it.
That's correct. You better believe it.
Well, my question tonight is I want to know, basically, do you feel that Leodis McClelvin and Stephon Gilmore will make an impact this year for the Bill in the Bills secondary?
That's a good question, and you got the right guy to answer that question, too.
Yeah, and I think, you know who else I think is going to make an impact, too, is Ron Brooks, because I like his skill set. But I have always loved Leodis. I mean, Stephon is, they drafted him in the first round, and he's going to be the lockdown guy. Now, he had a couple last year. Coach Wonstead didn't want to expose him and didn't want to hang him out too much because he wanted to make sure he protected his young corner. But he held up extremely well, made some great plays. You know, he can really do anything on the football field. He can be a lockdown guy. He can play cover two effectively. He's going to come up and he's not going to dive at your ankles. He's going to put his shoulder into you and make a solid tackle. And he can protect the edge in that regard. He's a feisty guy. He's got some nasty.
What are you talking about?
Gilmore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't got the Leo.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So and so Stephon is. I mean, he has got all the tools to be an elite cornerback in this league. There's no question about that. Leotis has tremendous. There's nobody on the team that can burst like him. That can change directions like him. There's a couple things in his game that he needs to work on. And judging the deep ball is one of them. You know, every time he's gotten beaten in the last several years, he's always right in position to make the play, but the offensive player ends up coming down with the football. And that's part of that's technique, and part of that's, you know, working on that, your depth perception and all those things that come into play in those certain situations. It's a vision thing. It's all the little tiny things about being a defensive back that you got to make sure you perfect, because in a game, you don't have time to think about them. You just have to execute them. And I think that this coaching staff is, you know, I was only at a few OTAs, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, and so I don't want to purport to know more than, you know, what you can learn in a couple hours of viewing practice. But I like the teaching that was going on during the sessions. I mean, I like the fact that they were teaching their inside linebackers about if there's two backs in the box, then we got to have two linebackers in the box. I mean, those are things that you teach high school and college players, and you assume that NFL players know that. Quite frankly, they need to be reminded of it. It's like being an accountant at you know, one of the country's prestige law firms. Those guys love going back and teaching beginning accounting at one of the local colleges because it reinforces the fundamentals of accounting, and that's what you constantly have to do. So reinforcing the fundamentals of defensive play is some of the things that I saw when I went over and observed a couple practices, and to me, that's a really good thing. I think from a technical perspective, I think that Leotis has the skill set to be, I've always said he has the skill set to be a Darrell Revis. He's a lockdown type of guy because you have to watch the film and you have to watch some practice film to see him come out of his shoes and burst to the football. But there's little things. If you burst to the football but your eyes aren't on the hip of the receiver, you're going to end up in the wrong spot. You got to make sure everything has to be really precise as a defensive back. You have really no time whatsoever for false steps. If you know one false step, I'll give you a good example. Dante Whitner, when Dante Whitner was here, so he makes a play. I think we might have been, did we play New Orleans here when he was, I don't remember. But anyways, there was a play that he made. They threw a seven cut, which is a flag cut, from the inside receiver, and they were in a cover two situation, and Dante was the cover two safety on that side. And the ball was thrown right on the money, and the reception was made for about an 18-yard gain. And Dante hit him with his shoulder, just put a great lick on him right after he caught the football, knocked him out of bounds, but it was a completion. So I saw Dante that week in practice. Later that week, I said, Dante, that was that was a great burst, and I called it a mirror and roll because he just did it naturally. This is a technique the defensive back uses. And I said, do you know why you didn't make the play? And he said, no, I thought for sure I was going to make that play. I really was sure I was going to make that play. And I said, because you drifted 2 yards too close to the hash. If you'd have backpedaled straight like you should have, you would have made that play. But on your backpedal, you started drifting inside. And you can't do that in that situation. Here's your landmark. You have to be 4 to 5 yards outside the hash. And if you're 4 to 5 yards outside the hash, you pick that ball off and take it back to the house the other way. And if you're 2 yards the other way, you don't make the play. So there's a lot of things, precision things that happen at the defensive back position that kind of accentuates the fact that it's a game of inches and how angles are so important. Leotis has all the tools, and he exhibited it. Look at his attitude he had with the return game last year, you know, when he wasn't playing cornerback, which is something he loves to do. So I think you're going to see a resurgence of Leotis, and they've got a lot of guys in the building that can play cornerback right now. And Brooks is great. But he's more of an inside guy because that's what he played at LSU. And he's good in there. He likes it in there. And he can play the zone drops in there too, which is difficult for some corners because they're not used to that responsibility. He is because he played it at LSU.
Got a long answer to your question, James. Thanks very much.
How many more questions? We have time for one more question.
Thanks, James. We appreciate it. Okay,
right, James.
That's James. Let's take a question on the phone. Here is Tom in Tonawanda. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Okay.
I just have a couple of football questions, not on what you've been talking about, but I hear the quarterback designating the Mike linebacker, and you were talking with Arthur Motes about him maybe being it. What do they mean by the Mike linebacker, and who's the quarterback singling out when he tells them who it is?
Mark, why don't you handle that one?
Well, you have a Sam, a Mike, and a Will, generally in a 4-3 defense. So if you're in a 40 defense, and we've talked about this a lot, do you listen to Kelso's Classroom? Okay, so in a 40 defense is an even defense, which means what? Why do we call it even?
Why do you call the defense even?
Why do we call the front even? Okay, say something like, because there's even number of guys on both sides of the football.
All right,
okay?
All right.
Come on.
That works.
Is
so,
this the way you taught it, St. Mary's?
It is.
Okay.
I'm drawing it out of my students.
Right.
Okay. On even defense, there's nobody over the center. So if you have four defensive linemen, you have two on one side of the center, two on the other. If it's an odd defense, then we can make all kinds of jokes about that. But then you have a nose tackle that's lined up on the center. And then so you have generally three guys on the line. Actually, you have five, but it's because two of those guys are linebackers. Let's just talk 40 for right now because they generally identify the Mike in a 40 situation. There's one middle linebacker. So the linebacker, there'll be four down linemen and three linebackers. The one that's in the middle is the Mike linebacker. Then there's a strong side guy, which generally goes to the side of the tight end, and he's called the Sam, and then there's a Will. And it's not rocket science here for with what we're dealing with. You just try to make up words that kind of define what you want to do. And the weak side guy. Now, the different guys, Sam and Will, have different responsibilities in regard to cutback, in regard to pass, in regard to run force if they run their side. But okay. The Mike is the guy that they've got that sets the blocking scheme for the offensive line. So they might slide one way or the other. Once they identify Mike, then they know where the strong side guy is. If it's going to be a strong side blitz, they may slide the line one
way. That's why they identify the Mike.
That's why they identify him, so that they can set the blocking scheme for the offensive line and who's going to be responsible for him. So there's so many things that offensive line does, whether it's a pass or a run or a blitz situation, that they have to know where that guy is so that they can start counting from that guy to determine. It doesn't necessarily because you're an offensive tackle doesn't necessarily mean you're always blocking the defensive end. You're blocking the guy who's lined up as a defensive end, but not necessarily that guy. And that's why, what's your name?
Tom.
Tom. Sorry, yeah, Tom from Tonawanda. I should have got that. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, Tom.
That's all right.
So that's why a lot of defenses, you know, we talk a lot. One of the big things about defensive fronts is to move the front all the time. You cannot allow your offensive lineman, your opponent's offensive lineman, to know where you're going to rush from depending on your alignment. You have to rush from different areas. So if an offensive line is a man blocking scheme and you start twisting and stunning your defensive lineman, it's going to make it much more difficult on that offensive line, and you're going to force them into a slide scheme or some kind of zone scheme as opposed to a man scheme, because if they block man, they're going to get picked off and you're going to free up a defensive rusher.
Tom, thanks for calling. Thanks a lot for calling.
Can I ask one more thing, Jen? Rule changes that are coming down that we don't know about this year?
No, I don't think there's anything significant, Mark. I had the rule changes. I mean, they did them. There's nothing really big, nothing significant.
Okay, great.
We should review that before the preseason. Thanks.
Yeah, one game we usually in the preseason. I'm sorry, Tom, that you asked for a glass of water and I gave you a gallon. But sometimes.
But you just said he's a middle linebacker. Or would that?
But some.
I know there are nuances. I know.
Like, it's a whole puzzle. You can't just take one piece out and explain what that piece does. It's like saying, like, teach me about the game of chess and tell me what the rook does. You can't do that.
Okay.
You got to explain the whole thing.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more. A few minutes left with Mark Kelso. We're coming to you live from NOCO Express, Main Street, Youngs Road in Williamsville. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. If you want to ask a question on air, we've got a $10 NOCO Express gift card to hand over to you. Or if you want to ring us up on the phone, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, live from NOCO Express, Main Street, Youngs Road in Williamsville on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Coming to you live from the NOCO Express store at Main Street, Youngs Road in Williamsville. The John Murphy Show. If you stop by, we can get you on the air. It's going to be tight now. We've got a $10 NOCO gift card. We have Brent with us to ask a question for me and my broadcast partner, Mark Kelso. Brent, you got it written down on your napkin?
Yes.
Okay. What do you got?
Who are the three best linebackers on the Buffalo Bills?
The three best linebackers. I'm going to put in a vote for Kiko Alonso, a rookie, Mark, even though he hasn't played a game yet.
We can't answer the question like that because then we'll just get in big trouble and someone will call and say, hey, Mr. Kelso said you weren't one of the best linebackers of the Buffalo Bills. So let's just talk about the guys we have, okay? So they had Kelvin Shepard, but then he was traded to Indianapolis. And he played well for us the last couple of years. But now in the defense that they're going to run this year, it's going to be a little bit different. So I think they like the skill sets of some of the other guys they have. So I think the guy right now who has a really good skill set for what they want to do is Nigel Bradham. He really, and we talked about the Sam and the Mike and the Will, and he can really play. He doesn't generally play the Mike, but he plays both the strong side and the weak side, and he runs really well. He can rush the passers. There's a lot of things he can do. Arthur Moultz is a guy who last year didn't have a lot of playing time available to him, and he's a guy that could see a resurgence in this defense. Kiko Alonso was really highly touted out of Oregon, and I got a chance to meet him at a Play 60 camp that the Bills ran. Both Fred Jackson and Brian Scott put that on, and Kiko was part of that, as were a lot of other rookies, and seemed like a nice young man, hard worker, and they like his speed and his aggressiveness, his instinctiveness. So he's a guy. Mark Anderson is kind of a defensive end outside linebacker. And when they play a 30 defense. So
So he'll rush from the outside, and I think he'll be healthy from the knee injury he suffered last year. So we have a lot of really good guys. And then they also signed a guy named Manny Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, I mean, everybody, all these guys, tell me your name again, young man.
Brent.
Brent. Every one of these players are so much better than any player you've ever seen, whether they make the team or not, because all these, even these young rookies, are so talented athletically and have had great careers at whatever college they've been a part of. So a lot of guys have high aspirations, and they're going to get an opportunity to make a couple plays in training camp. And if they make the play, then they'll have an opportunity to stick. But the other guy that we got who played for Cincinnati was Manny Lawson. And when he played there, when we played there a couple years ago, we had the best. They had the best front seven in defensively in the NFL. So, and he was part of that front seven. So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the table as well. But good question. And there's a lot of talent there. We just have to see which ones come to the top.
Brent, thanks for your question. We've got a NOCO Express gift card for you. Thanks very much. I don't think we have enough time for another question. All right, we'll squeeze it in. Come on in, real quick. That's my fault, huh? Well,
okay,
you're a little bit long-winded.
Yeah. It's 5-2.
You're a little bit long-winded.
It's like 8 minutes to 9.
Well, I've got about 1 minute to go. So your name, sir?
I'm Vince.
Hi, Vince. Thanks for. You got a quick question for
me or Mark? Yeah, I wanted to ask about the readiness of Manuel and how you feel he's doing so far, his progress.
E.J. Manuel, what do you think, Mark?
You know what? It's amazing how Buffalo people are tied in. So I have some friends that live in Florida, and I get texts this week from E.J. Manuel working out at a high school in Florida. And then and the texts are, he's going to start week one, he should start week one. And I said, well, I have my own opinion on that, but we'll see. But I'm glad to see that he's working out extremely hard. Seems like a great young man. And I've said before that I don't think the Bills – the organization or the scouting department really knows what they have in him. But they sit down with him, they watch him practice, and they say, there's something about this guy that's a winner. And we think he's the guy that's going to take us to the next level. I think that Kevin Cobb will be the starting quarterback for the Bills on opening day. But I think somewhere through the middle of the season, you're going to see E.J. Manuel start to be worked in. And quite frankly, when we start talking about predictions, I mean, the Bills are, the average age, including the rookies, is 25 or 24.9. The average years of experience is less than 5. When those two things line up, teams don't usually win more than 6 games. But there's a definite talent level and a definite level of leadership, and I think level of excitement and enthusiasm in the organization and amongst in the locker room, which is where it needs to be. It can be everywhere else, but if it's not in the locker room, it's not going to be successful. There's a level that I haven't seen in the, 7 or 8 years
long
that
time.
I've been doing the broadcast, so it's been a long time. So hopefully this is the building blocks of a very successful 7, 8, or 9-year run.
Vince, thanks for your question. We got a NOCO gift card for you. Thanks very much.
Thank you for doing such a great job. I listen to your show all the time, and I'm a big fan. So
thanks, Vince.
Hey, thank you,
Vince. Got to change that Sabre shirt next time, Vince.
Well, it was laundry day. It was laundry day. You got to.
You don't show up at a Bills event with a Sabre shirt on. We'll give you hair. Take a Bills cap. Here, get started on it.
Look at that.
Thanks,
the ultimate Bills fan.
Hey, Mark, thank you. We got an appointment tomorrow at the stadium, 1 o'clock.
Oh, we do.
Practice game. Looking forward to that. Thanks, buddy.
Yes, I am.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks to Mark Kelso. Thanks to Stephanie Madison and the Jills for stopping by tonight. I want to thank the folks here at NOCO, Justin and Katie, and everybody else for setting us up. Back in the studio tomorrow night, our engineer, T.J. Luckman, our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, Bill's director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. On the air at 7 tomorrow night, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, back at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.